He blinked, willing himself to be able to see into the tunnel. The sector opened to its full extent, and the light from within lit the area, extending to the edges of the cover where the gate and crossroads warriors waited.
Damn.
JB was sure that there'd be sec cameras scanning the immediate area, and the light would make them more visible than he would have wished. But the gate were experts at making the most of any cover given, and as he glanced around, he was pretty confident that their security had been maintained. In the wag, Ryan's eyes adjusted to the light. The corridor ahead was clear. No welcoming party, hostile or otherwise. The empty hallway extended for a couple hundred yards before coming to a close at the next set of sec doors. Thinking quickly, Ryan considered it likely that this would be a regular precaution, to not open up the rest of the base until the outer doors had been secured. But something still didn't seem right. He was distracted by a tap on his arm and turned to face Dean, who was gesturing toward the radio speaker.
Evan, what the hell's wrong with you people? Am I supposed to keep the doors open all goddamn day? Get your asses in here!
Ah, shit. Impeded by the helmet and unable to voice his feelings or canvas opinion, Ryan put the wagon to gear. He advanced down the corridor. Still outside, watching the wag enter and the outer sector close, Yardy turned in his hiding place to face Doc and Nita, who were waiting with him.
Shit, what do we do now?
We wait until they get the door open again, and then we fight.
But what if they don't?
Then, my dear sir, we have a conundrum to which we have to find a solution within a very small time frame.
Say what?
I think he means we have to move triple fast and work it out as we go along.
Succinctly, if not eloquently put, my dear Nita. Now, let us keep watch, so that we may not miss any such opportunity.
Pulling up just inside the main sector, Ryan kept the engine ticking over and waited. He felt the need to keep the wag near the main sector so that one of them would be able to key in the sector code and open it up as quickly as possible. There was also a knot of tension in the pit of his stomach that told him not to get too close to the next sector. He had a feeling that his battle plan was about to be thrown a curve. Something told him that the illuminated ones had stumbled onto their true identity. The seconds crawled past with agonizing slowness. The tension in the wag made it seem all the more oppressive.
Damn it all to hell.
Ryan pulled off the helmet that had been stifling him.
Fire blast, that feels better.
Christy quickly removed her helmet, shaking loose red, sentient hair that refused to uncoil. It was obvious that her mutie sense had picked up danger, which only confirmed Ryan's own suspicions.
Something's wrong.
Reckon so. Why aren't they here to greet us if we're the long-lost wag crew?
It's all my fault.
No shit, Sherlock.
If I hadn't got the radio going again, they wouldn't have had the chance to get in contact, and they wouldn't have figured out that we weren't the real deal.
No, son. I figured that maybe that didn't matter too much. Without the radio, they still could have been suspicious about us. Blaming yourself is just going to waste time and energy. We're here, we need to get the sector open again, and we need to cover our asses while we do it.
One thing, Ryan. Even if we get the sector open again, what's to stop them shutting it like they did when we came in?
She's got a point. If they're using a remote system, we need to keep the door up once it's up.
Would a remote system and the manual keypad be on the same circuit?
Maybe. Even if it isn't, you shoot enough of a charge into the hardware and you'll blow out all the circuits. Get it up, then use the laser blaster on the keypad and the resulting charge should short out every piece of fiber optic or wiring in the system.
Okay, so we know what to do when the door's up. Let's get to raising it.
Wait, what the fuck are they doing now?
While he'd been speaking, Ryan had been facing away from the windshield with the others watching him. Only the gate queen had been watching through the windshield, keeping her eyes on the sector that lay a couple hundred yards before them. Ryan swung around, bending low over the dash to get as wide an angle as possible on the area in front of them. The sector was beginning to rise. For the first couple of inches, there was little that could be seen through the narrow gap that made any sense. But as the door rose higher, Ryan was able to discern several pairs of legs and the wheels and undercarriage of what seemed to be a small wag. Maybe some sort of attack wag, possibly heavily armed.
Shit, we've got real problems. Looks like they're bringing up some heavy hardware.
And we're sitting targets in here. Guess it's time to check our own hardware.
You got that right.
Whoever you are, come out without your weapons, and you will not be harmed. We have no wish to kill you, only to expel you from our base.
Yeah, right. Only after you've dosed us with your fucked up pox.
I'd rather go out fighting than let them do that. They've tried that shit on us already.
Ryan looked at the warriors gathered around him. His face was grim. He turned to look out the windshield. He could see 14 illuminated soldiers lined up against them, with the center of the corridor taken up by a motorized blaster that was on wheels because of its sheer size. Like a laser cannon, it stood imposingly, manned by two soldiers. Ryan sensed a presence at his side and turned his head to see that he'd been joined by John.
See that giant bastard? If that has power in relation to size like these laser blasters, we are in deep shit if we stay in here.
Even with the strength this wag has?
Yep. I've tried and tested these fuckers to see what they can do, and if that works on the same principle, that big, it'll either cut through us like a panga through butter, or it'll heat the metal so much that we'll fry in here.
Not much of a fucking option. There's only one thing we can do.
Sweets, I think we've all gathered that. But shit, when there's no chance, there's nothing to lose.
The Amazon Queen jumped out of the back of the wag and dove for cover behind one of the reinforced concrete buttresses that held up the redoubt's roof. She was in position before the illuminated ones had a chance to react. She briefly moved from cover and fired. One illuminated soldier was chilled, taken unaware by a blast that hit him directly in the middle of his chest. A plume of smoke rose from him as he fell. Inside the redoubt, the illuminated soldiers were without their helms. Encouraged, Gloria kept firing, aiming for their heads. A woman caught Gloria's second blast. She was hit while attempting to find cover. Tall and heavily built with long blonde hair, she was slightly slower than her companions. As she dove, she twisted awkwardly in the air. Although that didn't save her from great pain and injury, it did possibly save her life.
Ah! You bitch! Love you too, honey!
Gloria's covering fire was the cue that Ryan needed to rally his troops.
Tammy, other side, right?
Yeah, sure.
Tammy dove out of the wag, throwing herself in the opposite direction of her queen so that she could take the other flank. She rolled and came up firing. Three sharp bursts went over the soldiers' heads as they took cover. The laser cannon soldiers directed it towards the wag. The air seemed to become dry and charged as the cannon prepared to let loose.
Holy shit! Jump! Jump!
Go, people, go!
Mildred and Dean were nearest the rear. The young potter leapt out, landing on the run, keeping to his feet and turning to fire a covering charge from the laser blaster as he sought cover. It diverted fire from the illuminated soldiers who were aiming at him and Mildred. They pulled their shots upward as they dove to avoid Dean's blast. Their charges hit the ceiling. A layer of concrete dust and plaster fell on Mildred. She landed awkwardly, stumbling and falling on her side, her elbow twisting inward, knocking the breath from her.
Not again.
She seemed to have no energy as she tried to rise to her feet, everything seeming to be happening in slow motion. She was only vaguely aware of the strong hand that gripped her upper arm, hauling her up and flinging her against the wall behind Tammy.
Thanks, Christy. I told you I wasn't up to it.
Bullshit. I'll cover you. You're the only one who can find the antidote.
John followed Christy and dove to the other side, coming up behind Dean and Gloria, and fired as soon as he reached cover. The last one to bail, Ryan was still in the wag.
Oh, shit!
The laser cannon fired on the wag.
Holy shit!
The metal of the wag glowed red, then white, the heat making the air around them shimmer.
Ryan!
For a fraction of a second, in the brightness of the glowing wag, it seemed as though there was no way that the one-eyed man could have escaped. As the charge hit the wag, he was preparing to throw himself out the back, his muscles tense to make the leap. He felt an immense heat grow rapidly, the metal under his feet and around him seeming to expand as time itself seemed to slow. The expansion of air and metal that spread along the front of the wag hit him as he started to leap, carrying him out of the back of the wag as though a giant hand had taken him and shoved hard, propelling him so he had no control over his final destination. He shot across the concrete, landing heavily against the door of the redoubt. His ribs cracked. No one had seen him leave the wag and land so badly. Expecting a hail of fire to hit his exposed position at any moment, Ryan fought against his own body to try to pull himself to his feet. His skin was hypersensitive and his muscles ached. His ribs protested and his knees refused to unbuckle, but still he persisted. There was no fire directed toward him, and he had to use every last moment he had to try to get the door open. The illuminated ones were blinded by the laser cannon fire.